Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. Each week at Grace Bible Church, we remember and proclaim Jesus, his death, and the gospel together by eating a piece of bread and drinking a cup of juice. Paul relayed Jesus' own instruction concerning this meal to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Look there now in your Bibles. The bread is a physical reminder of Jesus' body, he teaches. And the cup of juice calls our mind to Jesus' innocent blood spilled on behalf of the guilty. Jesus gave his innocent body to make the guilty ones innocent. Jesus, the worthy one, made those unworthy of him worthy through his own blood. And after describing Jesus' instructions regarding the meal of remembrance and proclamation in 11:26, Paul proceeds with a startling warning. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. How can we be guilty concerning that which makes us innocent? How can we remember and proclaim the only source of our worth in an unworthy way? This is serious. And to understand the warning properly, I think we have to appreciate what's going on in the Corinthian church. The early church gatherings were often marked by a common meal. They climaxed in a remembrance and proclamation of Jesus and his death through the sharing of one loaf of bread and the drinking of a cup of wine. That's the Lord's Supper. And in table fellowship, the rich and the poor, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and the free, ate together. They ate as one. And Jesus' death created a new body. It created the church, full of individual members, no longer living for themselves, but caring for each other. Each member recognizing the other member as part of the same body. And as Christians gathered around the Lord's table, this diverse, blood-bought unity is supposed to be on beautiful display. Many individuals together, remembering and proclaiming the body that made them one body. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." But the Corinthian church demonstrated something far different. At the Corinthian gathering, it was every man for himself. Some, without thought of sharing, would eat and drink to the point of even being drunk, while those with nothing could only watch humiliated. In this meal, Jesus may have been given lip service, but as the church ate, they demonstrated that they had forgotten him whom they were supposed to be remembering. They proclaimed that they were still like the world, living for themselves, not each one living for the other, like the church should. The Corinthians looked more like the guilty world who nailed Jesus' body to the tree than the innocent church that was formed as he gave his body to make us all one. Therefore, in order to avoid the guilt of eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, Paul commands in verse 28, he says, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." What specifically was Paul asking them, or what was on Paul's mind as he asked them to examine themselves before they ate and drank? Well, he tells us in the next verse. We don't have to guess. He says, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So the Corinthians were to examine their hearts to see if the manner in which they gathered to eat and drink recognized their part as members in the body of Christ, the church. Taken out of context, verse 29 has been used to justify the false teaching that the bread on the table, the bread that we eat, actually becomes Jesus' body. But this isn't what it's teaching at all. Understood in context, it's obvious that the body to be discerned isn't the bread on the table, but the body at the table. So how can we be guilty concerning that which makes us innocent? And how can we remember and proclaim the only source of our worth in an unworthy way? By not discerning as we gather together that we are the one body that Jesus gave his body and blood to create. So let me ask you, Christian, examine yourself before you eat and drink today. Let me ask you, what was on your mind as you came to church today? Yourself, your needs, or the body of the church that God saved you to be a part of? What are you most aware of? Your individual desires or the good of the body? Jesus gave his body and blood to make us all one body. So let your eating and drinking, especially at this meal, let your eating and drinking recognize this. And not your eating and drinking only, but let the entire way that you conduct yourself at the Sunday gathering, at small groups, and as you interact throughout the week, let that proclaim the Lord's death that we remember here. In a properly functioning body, every member of the body serves in its own unique way for the good of the body. And in a body, if a member of the body doesn't function like this, but rather if that member serves only itself, what do we call that? If a part of your body functions only to protect itself, nourish itself, at the expense of other body parts, we call that cancer. And the effect on the body is deadly. The Corinthian church was plagued by this cancer. And examine yourself to look for any cancerous traits in you as you're part of this body. The Lord's Supper, properly observed, should function as a sort of chemotherapy to put to death this cancerous sin of self-centered, self-seeking as we gather together. I pray that it would have this cancer-killing effect in Grace Bible Church as we take the Lord's Supper every week together. So where there's sin in you, this or any other area of your life, as you remember Jesus, repent before you eat and drink. If not, let the bread and juice pass. Christians are repenting people, and the Lord's Supper is for Christians. So like I said, if you have known sin, repent. And if not, let the bread and juice pass. Likewise, if by your own admission you're not a Christian, this time's not for you. So just let the bread and juice pass. But even better than that, rather, place your trust in Jesus to take your sins from you and reconcile you to him. He took the punishment your sins deserve and died to free you from sin's power. If you would only turn from your sins and turn to him. So please don't leave today without talking to me or another Christian about this good news. Men, please serve us. And as you hold the physical reminders that point us to Jesus and his death for us, look around and remember that it was the sacrifice of his body that formed this body, the church. Take communion on your own. Men, please come forward.